High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Earlier this month, we spoke to a councillor and we followed the story of a suburb that wants to kick Eskom out. I think this is a very, very important story, and I did promise that we would keep an eye on it. A section of the Lynbro Park suburb near Sandton in Johannesburg wants to ditch Eskom and get electricity from private power producers instead. That is according to reports right at the beginning of this month. Greenstone Energy has asked the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, to supply the area with electricity using gas-powered plants. The person involved in this is the councillor for Ward 32, and that is Dimakatso Molisani. He's councillor for Ward 32. Good morning. Thanks for joining us again. How are you?
Good morning, and good morning to the listeners at home. Thank you very much for having me.
So what is the latest update? It's almost a month or nearly 4 weeks since since we spoke last. What is the situation in the area?
Not much movement has happened since our last interview. However, the project has commenced in a few of the complexes in the suburb. It's part of a pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the estate managers and the developers felt that there was a need for them to start with the project and make sure that when the power goes off, that the residents in those specific complexes have power. Unfortunately, as you know, with the red tape that we've been experiencing from Eskom, we are currently left with no choice but to start a petition within the suburb. From that petition, we will submit it to both Eskom and the Department of Public Enterprise. We would also like to do a representation at the Portfolio Committee in Parliament on Public Enterprise and give them reasons why we believe that this is a good move and how it's going to rescue the rest of the country and the city of Joburg at large from the hostage situation that we find ourselves in with Eskom. You know, the argument from Eskom that we're getting is that they are the only one who are allowed to whoever licensing to generate power in the area. But when you look at it, almost every second day, there's a power outage that we're experiencing from Eskom. Even if it's not within the load shedding schedule, the power just decides to go off because the infrastructure is old, it has not been maintained. So those are the situations that we find ourselves in as a suburb and as a ward. So we're no longer going to be begging Eskom. If residents feel that they want to move off the Eskom grid, they can start be part of the pilot project. And Eskom has no mandate to try and, you know, hold us hostage with an infrastructure that they have that is very poor and not maintained.
The fact is that government is saying that, of course, we can allow independent producers and that's going to be part of the solution. But by placing all of this red tape in the way and by Eskom fighting it every step of the way, it really renders government's words a bit of a lie.
It does. It seems like between the government and Eskom, it seems like there is no proper communication. You know, at one point, the state president at the State of the Nation address, made statements that we are looking into opening the market to, you know, independent power production. But since that, nothing has happened. You know, we're only seeing it happening in the Western Cape. Most recently, Stellenbosch has decided to go on to solar power use.
Mm.
You know, so I think generally what Eskom is doing to us is just seeing residents as a cash cow exercise, because people's appliances have been damaged. Eskom has never responded to any of the claims that residents have put through. We have residents who are on oxygen. They have to rely on individuals who are living in the neighboring suburbs. The response from Eskom and the turnaround time from Eskom, it's very horrible. So it's, you know, a government is saying something else, Eskom is saying something else, you know. So until they need to reach an agreement, they must reach an agreement, they must somehow sign an SLA to say we are opening the market officially to independent power production, because that has actually not happened. And if you saw with the energy indaba that took place between Monday and yesterday in the city, it's part of the process that we want to implement in the city of Joburg to say, open the market up to independent power production and make sure that residents are not subjected to load shedding. Make sure that small business enterprise do not shut down because they do not have money to afford generators.
Mm.
So until there's some sort of an agreement between the Eskom board and the presidency, we still have going to have a long way unless they want people to take them to court. And this is something that we're more than happy to do.
Well, it does seem to be going that way. The problem is that all of these things take an incredible amount of time. So it just delays it and delays it, and it means we don't solve the problem. We should be having, the situation should be occurring now, where suburbs like yourselves all over the country are finding solutions. Companies, suburbs, everybody should be finding solutions. And as long as they're compliant and as long as they are able to provide a decent service that is regulated, then they should be able to get on with it. And that's how we can't solve the problem in one place. We've got to solve the problem all over. And before we know it, when we start taking pressure off Eskom, imagine if your suburb had removed its requirement from Eskom. Well, that power can go elsewhere that Eskom is using for your suburb. And so we'll start to fix it actually fairly quickly. But the resistance to it is very, very worrying, and one has to wonder why.
You know, so when I look at it and I look at how, you know, the past 10 years, how the suburb has developed, you know, Limbrook Park used to be a farming area and is now developing into a proper residential area with a lot of developments that are being done. My suspicion is they've calculated the number of units, you know, new developments that have taken place in the area and said, no, this is the amount of money that we can make. So you're not going to allow them to get off the Eskom grid. So because what you see is that what I'm picking up from my side, it feels like they're more worried about the revenue that they'll be losing, and they're not even actually investing any money into upgrading the infrastructure, upgrading the current infrastructure, the piping. Because there was a meeting I held with one of the developers who has had money for quite some time to try and develop the power capacity for certain parts of the same area on the Eskom infrastructure. And the red tape they got, you know, there was someone, they had hired a consultant. The consultant did the feasibility study and everything. They had an engineer, electrical engineer, who they were working with, highly qualified, has a good references. Eskom rejected the consultant. They rejected the engineer, and they're insisting that someone from their database must be the one running with the project.
Unbelievable. And that's, of course, going to be part of the problem. Eskom has to shift their way of thinking. If they don't do that, we simply aren't going to solve the problem, because they'll stand in the way over and over again. And we can see that going on within Eskom themselves in terms of the sabotage that we're now seeing on a regular basis. We can see that Eskom are not able to even cope with what's going on internally, much like the ANC, I guess.
I think, you know, that the lack of monitoring and evaluation of our infrastructure, I can tell you right now, Eskom cannot give us a checklist of which of the current substations that we have need upgrading, which of the cables that move underground or anywhere needs to be changed because they have reached their time span. They can't do that, but they want to continuously subject residents to a power facility that is on the verge of collapse, because it's only a matter of time that the Eskom actually collapses.
Absolutely incredible. You know what I also don't understand is, why doesn't Eskom reframe this and say, okay, so we're a power distributor. See themselves as a power distributor. We manufacture some of our own power, but we also have the ability to bring in power from independents. If they saw themselves, if they changed their identity from being a power producer to a power distributor who also has power productions, and then they started interviewing people like yourselves and saying, right, you're good enough, we're going to allow you to supply us, and we're going to allow somebody else to supply us, then surely they would be able to solve the problem that way.
I don't think they have any intention to do that. Remember, the moment they would take such a stand, they're opening up the market to more competition, more people that are competent, who have the necessary infrastructure that is well maintained and will have maybe a 15-year or 5-year plan in terms of how they will continuously maintain the infrastructure, which is something Eskom does not have. It only has on paper, but the implementation process is different. And the other fear is also, if they would take such a stand, they fear that more and more private sector guys would come on board and start funding independent power production, which is something that they don't want. They want to be continuously bailed out.
Absolutely. We do need to leave it there, but this is a conversation we are going to keep having. And that is, of course, Dimakatso Molisani, who is the councillor for Ward 32, talking about Limbro Park going off the grid, supplying their own electricity to the residents.